Here it says of the same lump, notice, to make one vessel unto honor. A vessel of honor, if you think in terms of a king's palace, was what the king purposed should sit on his table or in an entryway. That was a place of honor. But that's all those are. He placed them where they were, and they stayed there, and it was up to him to either keep them or remove them. So one, a vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor. There were vessels, and there are today. We've got a trash can back there. That all it's made to do is to hold trash. But can you imagine if we have our meal here one day and I went out and got these trash cans and put them on the table? What would be the reaction? People would like, have you lost your mind? They're vessels of dishonor. That's the whole trash. And to just be blunt, there's a toilet with a seat, but you don't put that out in the living room. One of honor, one of dishonor. That's how this is described. What if God, willing to show his power, that's what it says there in verse 17, concerning Pharaoh, even for this same purpose, this same good pleasure of God, he says, have I raised thee up? He was a vessel of dishonor. That I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. See, the God that's being declared today is not the God of Scripture. That's why he's popular. Everybody thinks well of their little G-O-D. But I'll tell you, when you begin to declare who he is, I'm just reading Scripture here. But people get upset with it. It's because they don't know God. David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. It's in this context, if you have taken this one and crucified and slain, but this man approved of God, never took his eyes off of his father. That's who this is about, saying he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. No matter what men did to our Lord Jesus Christ, even in crucifying him, they could not do one thing more or less than what the Father determined he should do. So it's about Christ and how he looked to his Father and how he glorified his Father, that he should not be moved as the representative of these sinners that he came to save. And when it says there in verse 26, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad, those were words of David, but they were actually words of our Lord, who for the joy that was set before him, the scriptures say, endured the cross despite the shame. They could not take that joy from our Lord. Even in spitting in his face and crucifying and doing to him what they did, he was not moved. Why? Because his eye was ever on his Father, for that people that the Father had given him. You see how lightly we often take our salvation? It's not what we endure, it's what he endured. It's not what we sacrifice, it's what he sacrificed. And nothing that men did unto him could move him from that glory to glorify his Father. See, that's where we're just nothing but sinners. We profess how much we love Jesus, and yes, we love ourselves. Be honest, admit it, confess it. It's what we are as wretches. We love ourselves. Put to the test, we'll be the first to deny the Lord in a split second, a nanosecond. You know it, I know it. You say, well, where's the hope of salvation? It's in this one who could not be moved. It says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, among the nations, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Again, the good works, I've said before, when you read that, that they may by, you can see your is in italic, that they may by God's works. That's what a good work is. It's a God's work. which they shall behold. How is it God's work? It's God's work in you. Else you'd be just like them, but they glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, the day when he be pleased to visit them, because that's the only way they're going to glorify God. The same way that he was pleased to visit any one of us by his mercy and grace.